Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Hello, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance.
If you guys could only hear the conversations we have before the show goes live sometimes. I mean, we have a lot of the same conversations on air, but...
Oh, no, it's fine. It's just, you know...
Yeah.
The reality of it is, in sports, when you think about some of the history of college sports and guys, you know, getting extra benefits and stuff like that, it's been going on for years, man. It's not a secret.
It's just called it the ongoing rate.
It's all the president's men, man. Follow the money.
Come on,
you
want
to know what's going on with baseball right now?
Follow the money.
Just follow the money. What happened with Antonio Brown? Follow the money. That tells you everything you need to know.
Whenever you see somebody back in the day flying all the way from Southern California to somewhere out east or in the midst of the South or the Midwest, and they're getting on planes, it's a lot of damn schools you passing over, bro.
Yeah, and I'm talking about like G4 type planes, not like these propeller planes, like G4s, Hawkers, real legit planes.
First time I ever was on a prop plane, I went on to visit Mississippi State.
And they put you on a prop plane?
No, what happened is I flew in. You know, you have to fly in.
Then you do a puddle jump.
So I'm on the first time. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about this.
This is not it. This is not it.
But you can understand why he was checking out Mississippi State, the academics, the football program. Plus,
well,
it's real close to
home.
He
didn't tell you the second leg in which they put him on the G4 after he got the prop plane.
Jackie Sherrill was the coach. Let's just put it that
Jackie
way.
Jackie Sherrill.
If you know anything about college football in the 70s, 80s, you know who Jackie Sherrill is.
I mean, Nick Nolte from Blue Chips, the football version.
He's like, should I go to SC right there in my backyard? I always thought about it, dreamt about it, being a Trojan, everything, great program. Or should I go to Mississippi State? I'm going to need some time to think about this. Let me get on a plane and find out. Let me check things out.
As Dennis Thurman said, hey, whatever you do, go eat those people food, but you know where home is at.
Mm. Mm. So,
I love your transitions.
We're talking about LA and all this stuff. There's no way around it, even if we weren't planning on talking about it.
Speaking of LA,
like the transition word that bridges things together? Speaking of.
Yeah.
Because my last words was LA.
I know, but it's always speaking of.
So what do you say?
I don't know.
Well, because we were just speaking of it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that transition because I knew Jay would clown it. So I was trying to think of a way around it.
Speaking of which,
the Lakers did suffer their third loss. There's no way around that one. In as many games since the All-Star break, 0-3 since the break, 109-104 to Luka Doncic, who's been playing out of his mind, in the Mavs Tuesday night. Now they've lost 6 of their last 7, the Lakers, going back before the break. I mean, LeBron said he believes his team has a chance to make the playoffs. And Key J, you guys have been telling me the whole time, just wait, Russell Westbrook will turn it around. I told you, I don't know about that. And here we are. Are you guys still sure Russell Westbrook will turn it around? I don't know. I'm thinking maybe at this point.
Don't you dare put that on us.
I tried.
He shot a 3-ball last night. I swear I thought they was going to have to replace the backboard.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Along Came Polly? It's like rain dance. That's how I feel. Russ shoots the ball sometimes.
With his friend Captain. Make it rain.
White chocolate.
At least he pulled the trigger, though.
He takes it.
Ben Simmons needs to go hang out with Russell Westbrook. Look, he can't shoot either, but at least he shoots. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here is LeBron at the post-game presser.
Until you stump me out, cut my head off, bury me 12 feet under, then I got a chance. So that's my confidence. As long as we got more games to play, we still have a chance. You know, I hate losing. I feel like poop right now. But tomorrow's a new day, and I'm going to be prepared and ready for the Clippers on Thursday. But that's my mindset. That's just who I am.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Jay, what baffles me about the Lakers is they put this roster together. I could see, okay, like as you've been saying, like if Westbrook's on ball, which always happens on a Westbrook team, right? Now LeBron is off ball as a shooter, But when you looked at the construction of the team of everyone getting real minutes, LeBron was the best shooter. LeBron was the best shooter. So you had to assume they were going to get some 3-and-D guys or at least some 3 guys at the deadline, and then they didn't, Jay. What were they expecting?
I'm not even going there, Max. We already know that. Look, we've been talking about the lack of moves that Rob Pelinka and team decided to make and the battles between Clutch and Jeannie Buss and Linda Rambis and Kurt Rambis. But last night watching the game, I'm getting to this point where what we're seeing LeBron James do at the age of 37 is unprecedented, right? Like, he will finish his career in top 5 in almost every statistical category possible, which is insane. So I'm watching him single-handedly try to keep this team making threes down the stretch against the Mavs to keep this team in the ballgame. And then I'm watching defensive principles of Frank Vogel where they're switching everything. And now we're asking LeBron James to even guard Luka Doncic down the stretch to help his team get wins at the age of 37 years old. And it always goes back to this conversation for me. I don't want to see LeBron James stumble down the stretch fighting for a 9 or 10 seed and have something happen to him at this part of the season.
100%.
I know you said it the other day, and I hate even thinking this way, but just – and this is why LeBron is going to be in the GOAT conversation, him and MJ, because he's always going to want to fight for it, and I love this about LeBron. But this team doesn't fight for it the way LeBron James fights for it. So I'm watching him single-handedly try to fight, and I'm like, please, Lord, don't roll an ankle. Please, Lord, don't have your knee happen. Not for fighting for a 9 or 10 seed. Not at the age of 37 years old.
What?
It's like he's out there by him damn self.
You say he's age 37, but it's even deeper than that, because since he skipped college – it's NBA miles since he was 18.
Yeah, but that's not affecting.
Well, you have longer 82-game schedule since he's 18.
But it's not affecting his play. So when people start to talk about the miles that's on his body, if he was slowing down, then we could point to that as and say, well, this is the reason why.
No, only to point out how remarkable it is that he's still able to do this.
He's remarkable and able to do it. What's fascinating about the Lakers to me is when you – never mind the other – 8 guys on the floor or on the bench or whatever. Never mind those guys.
Rotation, yeah.
Never mind that. If I took 3 Hall of Famers and I put them on the floor, I should be able to put you and Jay out there and still be good.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The reality. Westbrook,
top
AD. And LeBron James, 3 Hall of Famers. And then if you want to throw Melo in there, just throw Melo in there. So you got 4. I should be okay.
And Dwight, by the way.
Yeah, but yeah. Okay. Yeah,
5.
Yeah.
5.
Yeah, 5.
And they're older, but it shouldn't matter, though. It really shouldn't matter. They just not playing basketball the way, except for LeBron, the way that they envision that they were going to be. You thought, and the Lakers thought, they would get at least 60 games from AD. They understand the history of his little injuries that he comes up with.
But he gives you 60 usually.
But usually they thought going into the season when they put the team together, we should get 60 games out of AD. Not going to happen. They didn't envision, when you looked at Westbrook last year, like Max jokingly always says, second half, second half, second half, second half. When they looked at him, in the second half, they were like, okay, well, if we get that, we're good. Hadn't gotten it. And then LeBron is LeBron. And then the ancillary pieces, Ariza and those guys, you thought that they would be able to come along and just bring enough. Not there yet. So this is why, and I understand what you're saying, Jay, about LeBron risking some things, but he's a player. Players
are going to always
that's
try
why
to push
the coach got
well, the real ones are the real
the coach
got to
be like a corner man, Jay. Not tonight, son. It's we're quitting in the corner tonight.
Next year,
yeah.
And the year after,
yeah.
That's what they should be doing with him.
Yeah, and
that's what I'm saying.
Next year and the year after,
it's like, hey, why are we fighting for a 9 or 10? And I get that LeBron's going to fight, but to a degree, if it's going in this direction, they haven't beat the Clippers all year, right? So
no, we haven't. We're 0-3.
Which I mean, think about that. Think about that right there within
Clippers
itself.
Ain't got nobody
in LA,
right now. Yeah.
If you're in LA, you guys know what I'm talking about. They have not beat the Clippers all year.
It was so funny.
No Kawhi.
I meant to text Marcellus yesterday because I happened to be scrolling through.
No, don't text him when the Clippers are beating the Lakers.
That's why I was, because he was pounding on the Lakers, and I meant to text him, but I didn't.
He used to say every day on that, Clip City, Chip City. I'm like, the Clippers never been to a conference final.
They haven't even got a corner of a chip.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. They better compromise on LeBron right now. Let's avoid a catastrophic injury, knock wood. Things might be going wrong for the Lakers in L.A., but elsewhere. Man, there's an entire sport that can't figure it out. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN App, and ESPN 2.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN 2, presented by Progressive Insurance.
You a fool, Yates. What's wrong with you, man?
It's a lockout, cuz.
Yates is always music appropriate to the subject. Major League Baseball has canceled opening day. Yesterday, I was starting to feel optimistic. Oh, wait, there's movement. They extended the deadline, but it turned out to be, in my view, a despicable PR stunt by Major League Baseball. Commissioner Rob Manfred announced Tuesday the sport will scrap regular season games over a labor dispute for the first time in 27 years after lockout talks collapsed in the hours before management's deadline. With owners and players unable to agree on a contract to replace the collective bargaining agreement that expired December 1st, Manfred canceled the first two series for each of the 30 teams, cutting each club schedule from 162 games to likely 156 at most. That doesn't sound right. 2 weeks of games in Major League Baseball should cut you down from 162 to 152, something like that. You're going to play maybe even 150. You play just about every day in Major League Baseball. But okay, they're saying from to 156. I don't know how you only have six games in
you
2 weeks.
You gonna question their math?
I am, only because if you do cut out 2 weeks of games, baseball teams play six games a week, basically.
But think about it. Sometimes they're not four games. Sometimes it's three.
Yeah, so sometimes with travel and stuff, but that seems low to me. Anyway, I doubt they get 156 games in if they cancel 2 weeks. Anyway, here is Rob Manfred, MLB commissioner, on the cancellation of games.
I had hoped against hope that I would not have to have this particular press conference in which I am going to cancel some regular season games. We worked hard to avoid an outcome that's bad for our fans, bad for our players, and bad for our clubs. I want to assure our fans that our failure to reach an agreement was not due to a lack of effort by either party. The players came here for 9 days. They worked hard. They tried to make a deal, and I appreciate their effort. Our committee of club representatives committed to the process. They offered compromise after compromise and hung in past the deadline to make sure that we exhausted every possibility of reaching an agreement before the cancellation of games.
Not only do I not believe the spirit in which that was said, I believe that it was an intentional strategy by Major League Baseball that they had planned for this, that they went in knowing that here's the calculation to me. Every business wants to control labor costs, right? Because you have various costs that take away from your profits. And in baseball, the labor union is extremely powerful. And Major League Baseball looks around at the NBA and the NFL and say they've controlled labor costs better than we have. So it is so important to them to control these labor costs, this labor cost, that they think that it is worth it to cancel games. Now, had the union given them everything they wanted, sure, we would have had a season. But they were going to have to get a ridiculously lopsided deal to have a season, it seems to me, based on what I understand. Now, they think, and then this is where I think Key, Jay, and Key, I know you're a big baseball fan, as I am, that, and really what that means is I'm a big Yankees fan, you're a big Dodgers fan, right? Like, we don't follow every team, but we're baseball people.
Not following the Brewers.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's how it works in baseball. And that's one of the issues, why it's marginal culturally, or been marginalized. But I believe the miscalculation is this, Key. They think that a bigger slice is so important that they're going to wind up with a bigger slice of a smaller pie. And in the end, they get less pie, you know, or less pizza or whatever you're carving up. That this is going to damage a sport that people already largely don't care about.
It will, but I think if they decide, Major League Baseball, that is, put money behind the marketing of it to regain the trust of the fan base, they can recoup some of the loss. But they got to be willing to do it. They can't talk about it. You know, a couple years ago, they tried to put some money behind the marketing side of it. Remember, they were doing commercials with Griffey Jr., who had retired. They were doing all sorts of stuff to catch the eyeballs so that people will now, you know, look at baseball differently. They've got to go back to that, because what's going to happen here with baseball being at a stoppage right now, opening day is a big, you know, we all look forward to opening day. After opening day, we kind of go on about our business until you start to get into the pennant season, so to speak, after All-Star break and things of that nature. In order for them to gain their trust back again, they've got to kind of sell it to us all over again. It's like training our minds by getting us to believe something is totally different than it was before. And I think they can do it, but they've got to be willing to do it.
I just think this whole thing is a disaster. And I'm not even a diehard baseball fan. Like, I got a chance to meet Steve Cohen. I like the Mets to a degree, right? Like, watching them, understand what they're doing. But for me, on the outside looking in at this whole thing, even if you just look at the way this whole thing started, right? And I wrote it down. The league wanted 3 months to counter the union's first core economics proposal. They waited 3 months. Then 6 weeks later, they circled back after imposing a lock. The precedent has already been set on how they came to the negotiation table. And I think for Rob Manfred, whether there were pictures of him working on his golf swing yesterday, or even the same guy that called, like, the World Series trophy a piece of metal, like, at press conferences, smiling at the fact that they're going into this lock. I don't understand it. And for your reasons, Max, economic purposes, like, this is a leverage play. This is a negotiation tactic.
He certainly has made some mistakes as the commissioner along the way. There's no question about it.
Yeah. It's a $10 billion industry. $10 billion. And they're so intent on, oh, the players right now, if we could get six and leave the players four, just random numbers. That's so worth it. Yeah, you want 60% of $10 billion, or do you want 50% or 40% of 20? Right? Like, you want to grow your sport, or you want a bigger pie of a sport that will be further marginalized? It is largely irrelevant in American culture. When I was a kid, everyone I knew all about baseball. They don't anymore. Mm-hmm. I still care about it. Key cares about it. You know, I'm 48 years old. That's the old people still like
baseball. I care about the Dodgers.
Right, exactly. I care about the Yankees.
I was in the metaverse last night.
And yeah, and Jay, who's
that's what
who's
guys
10
are
years
wearing
younger.
On the lockout. I was in the metaverse playing baseball, hanging out.
That's where you're gonna have to watch baseball from now on, in the
so
metaverse.
Fun,
I agree with you on it. So but like, after opening day, I'm like, okay, volume.
They can,
games.
They can throw whoever they want in the metaverse, right? Like, I can go watch Ron Guidry pitch again in the metaverse.
Yes, you can.
I, you know what? I might check out metaverse baseball.
Not bad.
Because there ain't no real-life baseball. MLB and the MLBPA couldn't agree on finances, and now there's a quarterback who may not be able to agree with his team over, you guessed it, finances.
Uh-oh.
Quarterback. Quarterback. We'll tell you, no more Gettleman to say quarterback.
G-Sean, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN2. You can hear us on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can download the podcast. You can say, play ESPN. Your smart speakers pop us up. So Cardinals coach Cliff Kingsbury said he didn't know yesterday's statement was coming from Kyler Murray's agent, Eric Burkhardt, who also represents Kingsbury, so his own agent too. Kingsbury talked about whether he and Kyler have spoken since then. Listen to this.
I have not. You know, I think all of our long-term goal here is to have Kyler be our quarterback, and he understands that, and he understands my view of him and how I feel about him. And once again, I'm going to refer it back to the business side of things, and that's not something that I deal with. But it's all part of the business right now and things that we'll continue to work through.
What are the odds that he and Kyler haven't spoken, Key?
Well, I think he's talking about within the last several days, right? It's probably true.
It's all being done through the agent. They share an agent.
Well,
it's
I don't need to talk to Kyler when I could talk to my agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, but every single day, just because you have a relationship with somebody doesn't mean like you're talking to him all the time. So he could be telling the truth at that particular
you
moment.
You think in a moment, like a situation like this, they share an agent. Kyler and Kingsbury's success are, according to you, kind of tied together because only certain system works for a guy that size and everything. So they had to coordinate. This had to be coordinated, no?
Yeah, I mean, they share the same agent, okay? There's communication floating around with everybody. Cliff Kingsbury right now is at the combine doing combine-related things. Kyler Murray and his agent are doing whatever they're off doing. Now Cliff has to focus in on trying to find players with Steve Keim, the general manager. He can't worry about Kyler's feelings and things of that nature. He can't have that conversation with the general manager because the general manager has to have a conversation with the owner before he can make any decisions on doing anything. And all Kyler Murray and his agent are doing at this point in time is really ticking off the fan base. Mm. The organization, they big boys. They used to battling contract problems with people. That's not a pressure to them. The problem is when you alienate in the fan base, it becomes very difficult for you to play with that team. That's the only problem I have with Kyler Murray is he got to be very careful on how he's calculating this risk that he's putting out there. You scrub it clean, as you said, of your social media before, Jay, right? You get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
No Cardinals, nothing. Then you double down by trying to pin it all on the organization. The organization is just going to sit back. They letting you fire all
Big
everything.
Business.
They letting you fire everything off, and they're going to sit back and then finally hit you hard.
The Cardinals will be there in 20 years from now. You're not sure about Kyler Murray being there. But it's not only ticking off the fan base, Key. You know, I've talked to a couple of different people around the Cardinal organization. And even Even what Larry Fitzgerald Sr. tweeted the other day. Have you guys seen this? Obviously, you guys know about Larry Fitzgerald.
Senior.
Playing, yeah. His father said
Christine
that.
Christine Ryder.
Essentially calling Kyler Murray a spoiled brat.
Not the first time we heard that either.
It's not. I mean, we've been hearing this from people around here at ESPN multiple times. I've never met Kyler Murray, but how it seems to be rubbing people internally as well, these are all factors that if you're the organization, you're taking into account coming up with this decision.
So Steve Kime says his reaction to the Kyler Murray, Eric Burkhardt statement was an agent doing his job, right? Said he's been in regular contact with him throughout the offseason, but not in the last few days, okay? Cardinals coach Cliff Kingsbury said he didn't know yesterday's statement was coming from Kyler Murray's agent, Eric Burkhardt, who also represents Kingsbury. We heard coach say he hasn't spoken to Kyler. I think our long-term goal here is for him to be our quarterback, yada, yada.
I think.
The combine. So how likely is it that there's a long-term issue here? Where once, until there's a contract, until they get the bag, there's going to be an issue, it seems to me. Diana Russini said the following on NFL Live, our ESPN NFL reporter, when asked if Kyler will ask for a trade.
Really, pretty much to sum this up, Kyler Murray's camp at this point, they put the Arizona Cardinals on notice saying, we want commitment and we want this to go down over the next few weeks. And they're not going to be very patient with this. And you have to figure, guys, the next step, because the only card they have is to ask for a trade. And that's something that's going to wind up happening if they don't get what they want from the Cardinals.
Yeah, that and look, that's just and Diana did a great job in reporting this information because this news she had, nobody else had, which was extremely important to the whole Kyler Murray situation. But it's just utterly ridiculous and stupid in the month of February, moving into March, that all of a sudden, if I don't get my way, I'm going to ask for a trade because I'm going to bully you into giving me a contract. Meanwhile, let's rewind to a couple years ago with Patrick Mahomes. Same time in career-wise, coming out of their third season into his fourth season after winning a Super Bowl, being an MVP, whatever else accolades you want to.
50-touchdown season.
Championship games, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They got his deal done in the summer. They got to think about what I'm saying now. They got his deal done in the summer, not in March.
You didn't hear a peep out of Mahomes.
And Mahomes is here. Kyler Murray is not at that level to be in a position to argue and fight about a contract in February, March. Makes no sense. It makes zero sense because you got all the time in the world.
But Key, what gets rewarded these days in our society? Like, in a lot of ways, people who bully and who put people in the corner, and I get what it sounds like, right? Because we don't want to reward that. But a lot of times, people try to force other people's hands. And typically, to my surprise, I'm like, damn, he got that done? Okay, like maybe that's the way I should go about doing business sometimes. Maybe I'm too much of the nice guy. I'm not saying it's the right way to go about doing business, but you say Patrick Mahomes, how about Baker Mayfield if you're using that as an example? And I'm not defending his actions, but a guy who waited around and look what happened with Baker.
No, but Baker didn't wait around because there's communication along the lines with Baker Mayfield. You can't pay Baker Mayfield in a situation that he was in. Kyler Murray done been to Pro Bowls, which doesn't mean anything to me, but the argument is he's been to Pro Bowls, he led your team to a
Kyler
playoff.
Kyler Murray's better than Baker Mayfield.
There you go. So Kyler Murray's better than Baker Mayfield. My whole point to that, though,
Baker
Jay.
Baker getting hurt and all that.
But my whole point to that is.
Factor that into it.
We are in March.
Mm-hmm.
Season doesn't start till September. You got a long time to get something done. The season just ended. You just lost in the playoffs a couple months
this
ago.
This asks the question, okay? Here's what we have to ask. Why? Is it just because he's a spoiled brat? Why is he so desperate? If I'm the team, alarm bells are going off. These dudes are too thirsty at this moment, right? Why? That tells me they may think there's an underlying physical problem.
But here's why. But here's why, though. Because if you look at the history of Kyler Murray since he's been in the league, He hasn't played a full season. He's always injured and hurt. So you're trying to wrap it up before we get to the regular season, and then all of a sudden,
for the same reason that's the problem he has now, Jay. He's back.
But I'm the Cardinals, and I'm not in a rush.
That's
because I need to make sure that this is what I want to do from a long-term standpoint.
So he's backed himself into a corner now. Yeah. If his words have to mean anything, they have to follow through now. If his behavior, if there's no follow through on a threat.
Don't bark if you're not going
to
bite.
So what does he do? Because for the same reason that he wants the bag now, team don't want to give it to him now. And they actually hold the cards.
And as I said before we heard that sound from Diana, if you are in a situation and you alienate a fan base, that is hard as hell to play in with your own fan base. See, because the fans,
but
they don't typically forgive you as a player when you tell them, I don't want to be with you anymore. When you say, if you don't do this deal for me in 2 years, 2 weeks, I'm quitting, I'm gone, I'm taking my ball, I'm running home, trade me.
Disagree.
And then all of a sudden you come back, they're like,
I'm telling you, fans will come back. They will cheer for you if you continue to win games. Man.
No, who would not going to cheer? They're not.
I hear.
You're not finishing,
brother.
Finishing games. You're always hurt. The rumors are out there about immaturity, spoiled brat, all of those sort of things. They're going to turn on you,
Jay. What would you do if you were Arizona? You're in the front office at Arizona. How would you respond to this bullying tactic? You would call it by Kyler and his agent.
I would try to find middle ground. I'm not sure I would pay him the money he wants, but I would try to find middle ground.
And let's say they were like, no, we need to get paid. So middle ground is high 20s, low 30s, whatever. You know, it's not $45 million a year.
See, but
right?
He ain't going for 20 or
right.
30.
Okay.
That ain't happening.
It's not happening.
I'm a starting quarterback. Quarterback Pro Bowl money.
I keep trying to tell you, and I know people get angry about it. But typically in this situation, like, he's going to bully his way to get what he wants.
Okay, so you do think.
So you're the Arizona Cardinals. You don't want to give him my money key? Go ahead and rebuild then.
Yeah, I'll rebuild.
Go ahead and rebuild.
This is what
you
I would do if I
start all you, over
okay.
and rebuild.
No,
I'm
gonna,
not
I'm
a problem.
Gonna,
I'm just going to play devil's advocate.
Go play
baseball. I'm middle ground. Wait, I'm going to do your middle ground. Here's middle ground for me. It's not the average per annum because he's worth it per season. It's the length of the deal and therefore the overall guarantee. So if I were the Arizona Cardinals, I might. Even publicly, if they continue to do this publicly, say, you are absolutely worth that commitment. We think you're great. We want to pay you at the top of the market, but you have been hurt in the last two seasons.
Absolutely.
We have worn down.
Absolutely.
Given your size
absolutely.
And the fact that this is a big physical sport, we are willing to make that commitment to you, but the overall length of the commitment is not going to be as though you've been healthy this whole time. You see what I mean?
Yes. Absolutely.
I think, but they're not going to take that. They're not going to, for that, it's like a franchise tag. They're not going
to
take that.
Well, one of the things that if you came to me and you told me I need to pay you now in 2 weeks or whatever the deadline is set up, and I'm the team, do you want to play for the Arizona Cardinals in the National Football League? You do. So as we said to you before, we are going to get to you. This is the month of March. We are in the process of free agency, evaluating the draft. There is no pressure point for me to sign you right now in the day.
Who would be interested
I'm not coming to the offseason conditioning, blah, 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 blah.
He was the number one overall pick. He has played very, very well, like until the injury, which is factored into the equation. His play kept them undefeated two seasons in a row throughout a huge portion of the season, both seasons, okay? So his play is extraordinarily high when he's healthy, extraordinarily high. But as Key, you point out, it's dependent upon the system and the coach also, right? So you spent the number one overall pick on him. You've developed a team around him. What could you get for him? And that depends on who would be interested in trading for him, right?
I don't know that out of the 32, 31, because you take Arizona out of it, where does he fit? Because let's just use an example, for instance. The New England Patriots. They stack, right? They got the quarterback. But let's just use the philosophy of New England.
I think Belichick would change the philosophy around
Kyler. I don't
Kyler.
Think he would change the philosophy.
How about New Orleans?
Whew.
There are teams he can fit on now.
Jay, I love
their basis towards like a system and Bill Belichick. But there are
I don't think so, Jay. Everybody, you got to understand, when he came out into the draft, the reason he became the number one overall pick is because Cliff Kingsbury got the job. Cliff Kingsbury been eyeing him since high school. It was a love fest. It wasn't like teams were moving up
to
get him.
He ain't for everyone, but Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, is for everyone. Former NFL executive, our GM. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Michael.
Good morning, gentlemen.
It looks warm down there, Mike. It looks warm.
I'm in Indianapolis for the combine. Oh. We're not in Boca today, guys. But I will persevere. It's going to get to 60.
Put it this way. It looks warm in your room.
Yes.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax is brought to you by Mako. When life throws you uh-ohs, just say better get Mako and go to Mako.com to get an online estimate today. Mike T., what are your thoughts on a potential Kyler Murray trade? Mentions that it's not for everybody you need to. But what do you think about his trade value? Who would be interested and how would it work?
Max, who wouldn't be interested? I'm not saying he's perfect. He's one of the 10 best quarterbacks on the planet. If he was in this year's draft, if he was in next year's draft, he would be the number one pick. So I'm disappointed how the agents handled it. I'm really disappointed by the timing of it because he's been extension eligible for about 10 seconds here, where guys like Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield are already into their fifth year. So I think he could have and should have handled it better. But if just load them up, Carolina, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Washington, Tampa Bay. I mean, I don't know what team shouldn't be interested in him because there's nobody in the draft that's even close to him. And who from a free agency standpoint is better than he is? So despite his deficiencies, he would be in big demand.
Mike, do you think you mentioned, right, that the agent responding at the level he did, do you think that Kyler Murray dropped some breadcrumbs to the agent about potentially going back to playing baseball, and the agent feels like, uh-oh, I got to try to get a football deal done now because if I don't, he may go baseball and I might lose that commission. You think that's some of that swirling around that agent's head?
Yeah, absolutely, Key. I think everything's on the table. But I'll tell you this. If I was Steve Keim, the GM of the Cardinals, who's done a really good job, it's really easy for me. Hey, Eric Burkhart, we could have disagreement. We could have discourse. If you even breathe on social media, on TikTok, Instagram, or Twitter, you're going to play out this year. You're going to play out next year. You're going to play on the franchise tag. We'll talk to you in 3 years. We don't do business through social media, so if you even look at your Twitter account, this negotiation is over.
Ooh, Mike,
that's what I'm talking about.
So, Mike, with that being said, does Kyler Murray get paid his money?
Jay, I really don't know. You know why? Because I'm worried about the team right now. I got to go help this offensive line. We need more help on defense. We have the combine. We have free agency. We have the draft. Kyler, we'll get to you in August, so just be patient. You've been eligible for about 10 minutes. And there'll be some give and take. We'll get probably close to that $40 million a year average. You'll probably have to take a little less guarantees because we're going early. There's a deal to be made, but there's a right time and place. And if I even hear one word from anybody, directly or indirectly, this is over.
Mike, but I love it. Mike Tannenbaum with us, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. But, Mike, would you be concerned at all as GM? And you, I understand you are talent-friendly. You're a talent-friendly GM. Wait a minute. It's not the same for everybody. That guy's a special player, and I agree with you. I think he's a special talent. But would you be concerned about making a commitment long-term to a guy who does have a reputation as being spoiled now and publicly, and like now he's doing this to you, and his agent is doing social media and all that kind of stuff? Wouldn't that make you kind of give you a little bit cold feet about the whole thing? You're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. So a couple of thoughts. Max, first of all, he is not perfect, but when there's 12 teams in the NFL right now that don't have a star for this season, he looks pretty darn good when you look at the alternatives. I would ask him, I would say, hey, Kyler, what do you think you need to do to improve your leadership? And I think his answer, guys, would be so fascinating. It would give us an insight to what kind of self-awareness he has. And that would certainly help guide me and where we are with him. And you're making a great point. You look at Jared Goff, his dead money, Carson Wentz, his dead money. There are cautionary tales about extending a player too soon, certainly something I did with Mark Sanchez. And look, when you give money to USC players, you know it comes with risk. But the alternative to me is certainly worth it.
Well, too bad they didn't give this USC player any money when I was with the Jets. And Mike, when you're talking about spending money, draft picks, things of that nature, Carson Wentz, and I know you're at the combine, so I don't want you to see Chris Ballard down there and he frown at you, because what I'm about to ask you, are they making a huge mistake with Carson Wentz by even thinking about moving on from a guy that they gave up a first-round pick for a year ago, as well as a third-round pick, and they've only had him for 17 games. Like, think about this, though, Mike. And I was telling the guys, if you're drafting a quarterback in the draft a year ago for a first-round pick, 17 games later, you decide he's not the guy, what does that say about your evaluation process?
Yeah, Key, I think it's a really fair point. Indy has a really good team. I don't think Carson Wentz was perfect, but I think when Chris Ballard and Frank Reich look at their alternatives, I would go back with Wentz. One, as you said, you know, there's a significant investment, but fundamentally, who are they going to get that's going to be that much better? They had two games to go against Vegas and Jacksonville. While Carson Wentz didn't play well, neither did their team. You know, the Colts defense played poorly against Jacksonville. So to me, I would bring them back. They have a really good nucleus, and maybe I would draft another quarterback, maybe in the second and third round. Maybe it's someone like Sam Howell of North Carolina. So while I may not be content with Carson Wentz, he probably gives me the best chance to win in 2022 and then draft maybe his replacement in this year or next year's draft.
Mike T, real quick, can you restructure his deal if you bring him back?
Too much guaranteed money, J. Will. I mean, you know, just like you NBA players, lots of guaranteed money, little flexibility for the club.
So Major League Baseball would rather cancel its seasons to get into the kind of situation that you guys are in football and basketball. Football and basketball front offices have it so good. The great Mike Tannenbaum, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Mike T.
All right, Mike T.
Enjoy the cold.
Thanks, guys.
Go get
some. We're gonna warm up to 60. I'm gonna make it here somehow, some way. I'm gonna make it.
He got the thermostat on Florida in his room, though. Look at that. He's set to Florida. Thanks, Mike. All right, guys. So there you have it. Mike T says top 10 quarterback, and you want to try and figure something out, but don't even look at your social media.
That's what I said. Man, you better be quiet.
We'll get to you in August. Coming up, why no news might actually be good news for one team.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.